Morning, we looked at a lesson where Paul is trying to encourage Timothy. Many people were starting to leave the church. People were becoming discouraged. They were facing more opposition, facing more trouble. And when you have opposition and trouble, the thing that most people do is get out of it and get away from it. But sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you have to endure. And if you think about the things we talked about this morning, each one of those groups there that we talked about, the son and what I was the others, I think, I got to flip that. Okay. We talked about the son and how that he, what he was supposed to do. You know, have you ever been born into a family and there's people in that family that you really don't want to be a part of? Okay, don't raise your hand. That happens sometimes. And so what we have to do is to know that we're in that family. Good or bad, we're there. And we're going to be a part of that family. It makes no difference what happens. If you're not the black sheep and somebody else is, but you're going to be a part of that family. So it's the long haul. But not only that, Paul was trying to help Timothy to see that he was going to have to be a teacher. A teacher cannot teach in a day. It just won't work. It's going to take a long time to do that. And teachers understand that. We don't realize all the teachers have to go through to be able to teach a class. See, they have to write up this thing about what they're going to do, and then they have to stick with that. And it takes a long time to get all that stuff done. So they know that. And, you know, teachers just work from like 9 to 3, don't they? Everybody knows that. They don't have anything to do when they go home. They just relax and let their husbands fix their supper for them. And if you believe that, don't worry, God will let you into heaven. because they work constantly in preparing for the classes, in preparing to do those classes and doing those classes and then all that other stuff that they've got to do. So it takes time to do that. And if you want a job that you get to work about 23 hours a day and the other hour you spend eating, then become a teacher. It's in there for the long haul. And I know some people, I've really encouraged some people not to teach. They didn't like it. If you don't like teaching, get out of it and go do something else. Because you've got children there that you're trying to guide. But see, Timothy has people that he's going to help to guide their soul. And so he wants them to know about that. But not only that, we see him that he talks here about the believer as a soldier. Is this the second part or the first part? Yeah, that's the first part. Okay. He talks about the soldier. The soldiers we talked about this morning is somebody that's not going to just be in for the day. You don't become a soldier one day and then get out the next unless there's some extraordinary things. A soldier's in there for the long haul. It's not easy. It's not something he's going to get to do. He has to go for training, to be trained how to do the job. Then he has to continue doing that job even though things may not be as good. And then fourthly, we saw this morning about the idea of the person being an athlete and those things that person had to do, the preparation, and they couldn't quit, they couldn't stop, they had to keep on going. So Paul is trying to help Timothy to see through these examples that he needs to keep on going. Because Timothy is having maybe a little problem of doing this because he realizes what he's got to do. And he looks at it, have you ever had a job when you looked at that job, you thought, this is more than I can do? All of us have. And so Timothy may have been looking at that too. And he may have thought, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. I don't know if I want to keep living this way. And now Paul's in prison. He's probably going to lose his life. Not only did Paul think he wouldn't get out of prison, Timothy did not think he would get out of prison. So here they are, his discipler, the one that's going to, has been guiding him, is going to lose his life. What about Timothy? What's he going to do? So here Paul's writing a letter, and not just to Timothy, because Paul understands that not only he will read that letter, but other people will read that letter. And as they read that letter and they understand that letter, he's giving them encouragement to go on. He's telling them, don't you quit. You be this kind of a person too. And so here he's trying to help everybody to understand that they need to be encouraged. They need to be encouraged to go on, and they don't need to quit. Don't let Christianity destroy you. Now that sounds strange. Don't let it load you down so much that you want to be discouraged. Understand that you're in it for the long haul. You're in it for as long as you have to. Now, the next example that we're going to see is that of the farmer. Now, everybody knows farmers don't have much to do. They just ride around in their big, nice trucks all day long. No. They may be riding around in a truck, but they're going to this job or that job or this job or that job to be able to accomplish those things. A farmer knows he can't plant his crop today and harvest it tomorrow. He's got to be in it for the long haul. He's got to work and labor every day. Now, you may not see him working and laboring every day, but he has to be able to do that job because there's a lot to be done. There's that time of planting. There's that time of making sure that everything goes good with that crop and you do what you need to. If you have to water, you water it, or whatever you got to do to get that crop to go on. So here's this farmer, and he's in it for the long haul. He knows he can't just plant that crop one day and harvest it the next. So he's going to have to work very, very hard to do that. And he understands that he's going to receive is going to be maybe months in advance of that. So he's got to work all that time preparing and doing all of that. Now, he's not making any money off of that right now. In fact, it's costing him money. And if you've ever tried to buy fertilizer, you know exactly what he's talking about. And it's not as cheap for him either. So here you've got this farmer, and here you've got him in the work he's trying to do. Now, listen at verse 6 and 7. We're looking at 2 Timothy, the second chapter. In verse 6 and 7, he said the hardworking farmer must first be the one to partake of the crops, considering what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. He said, listen, that farmer's worked very hard, and most of their crops was not necessarily crops just to sell. Most of it was crops that they could eat, that they had to eat, and they had to store up that grain for their own sales, for their own food. They had to store up that wheat. They had to store up the other things that they were going to have to eat. They had to prepare to do that. I like to see these people in Alaska that are living there and trying to get by. And you see those people, as they're out, they have like 3 months, at least that's what I understand, of time that they can prepare to get their food ready, whatever they're going to plant. They had to get see these guys going out hunting moose, bears, everything else, and fish. And they're saying, we got to have so many pounds of fish to get through the next year. If you don't catch any fish, what do? Starve. So you got a lot of work to do. And these people are talking about how much work they have to do while they have time to do it. And they have a time limit. And so they've got to be doing those things. They've got to be accomplishing those things. So being a farmer is not an easy thing to do. And he said the farmer needs to be the one that gets the first of the crop because he's the one that's put in the most work for that crop. He's the one that's labored so very much. Here's another passage that Paul used, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9, where Paul said, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed. Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I think Paul is saying here to Timothy, you're working with other people. We've got to learn how to work with other people. If we don't do that, we have a problem. Mick's talking about that again. I'll give you another little commercial for Mick's class. He's talking about that and going to be talking about that, understanding how to deal with problems and difficulties in life. And that's what we've got to do. So then, neither is he that planteth or he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Whatever we do, we have to rely on what God does at the end of that. God doesn't always work like we want him to. God doesn't always give us what we think we need. God gives us what he thinks we need. We want what we want, but God says, no, that's not what you need right now. Now, we don't understand that. I don't know if we ever will understand that because we're looking at what we can see. We're not looking at tomorrow. We're not looking at the year after that. We're not looking at the end of the lifetime. God can see all that. And so God's helping us to understand that. I think Paul is saying to Timothy here, understand whatever you do, God will breathe on it. God will have his say in whatever's done there. So he all that. But God that giveth the increase, verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. He said, you're working not only with each other, but you're working with God. And God has told us how to do it, and that's what we need to do. He knows what we're supposed to be doing. So Paul here is telling Timothy, Timothy, understand that this is not just you. You're not the one to determine all that. Sometimes we have the idea that we're the ones that determine everything, and we're not. And sometimes we don't even leave room enough for God to work. And we have to leave room enough for God to work in our own lives. That's the way it's got to be. Now you just think about the farmer here. He may plant, he may water, and he may not get anything because of other weather that comes in. That drought may be so bad that even watering will not help. But he's got to learn to keep on going. And what is it, and I've heard this before, I think, it's the 5-to-1 principle. You have 5 bad years and you have 1 good year to help you keep going. And so you keep doing. And so sometimes you don't get that increase that you want. Sometimes you don't, it's not as successful as you think it needs to be. But understand, you're in it for the long haul. That's what Paul wants Timothy to understand. That's what he wants all the other people that are reading his letter to understand. Don't quit, don't stop, keep doing it. Each Christian has a particular part to do too. Each Christian has his part. Now, Paul talked about Apollos, and he talked about himself and what they did and what others would do. They worked together in this. We're working together in this. And we're not in this by ourselves. Too many times we think we're the only person that's faithful. We think we're the only person that's trying to do what's right. And we can get upset with other people and say things we shouldn't say, do things we shouldn't do, because we don't think they're doing what they need to do. Let me tell you something. Handle yourself. You got enough trouble in that. Don't worry about other people and what they're trying to do. Encourage them to do what's right. Help them if you can to do what's right. But if they don't want to do what's right, that's their business. You warn, you encourage, but then they've got to decide what they want to do. And if they don't want to do anything, that's got to be up with them, I guess. Because you can't force people to be a Christian. At least you should not try to do that. Not at all. We've got to be those people to understand that. Farmers have to plow, they have to sow, they have to water, they have to do all those things, and then they have to harvest all that. It takes time. He's saying, Timothy, look at that farmer out there and what he's trying to do. Look at how he labors for a crop that he's going to receive later on. But he goes on and he endures, knowing that it could be a time when his crop's not going to come in like he wants it to. And he may not make that much money, but he keeps on doing it. Timothy, you may not baptize 50 people this year, but understand you need to keep on going and doing what you can do. Don't give up. Don't stop. So here Paul is trying to say to us and help us to understand the idea as believers how we need to be. But not only that, we need to see that Paul is encouraging us and that we need to be those people as believers that are workers. We have work to do, work to accomplish. And so we're going to have to work and labor. My thing's not working, so forget that. We've got work to do. I don't know if you like to work. Some people like to work. Most of us do, but we like to work on what we want to work on. Now, I don't know about you, I really like working on old cars. It just, you know, if you lay under there and you get dirt in your face, it feels so good. I mean, just to do that. Now, my daddy loved to garden. That man would spend more money than he could ever get out of his garden. But he did that. I think I've told you before, somebody told him there wasn't going to be any fertilizer. He went and bought 4 tons of fertilizer and had it put in the basement. He said, I'm going to have fertilizer. He lost a crop 1 year because of lack of rain. He went and bought him this John Deere trailer. He put like a 500-gallon tank on it, went to Sears and got him a pump. He'd go down and throw that thing in the creek. He kept his yard watered and everybody in the whole community that wanted it because he enjoyed doing that. I told him, I said, Daddy, if you ever see me in the field hoeing or doing stuff, give me money because I'm in dire need. I don't like that. Now, since I'm going to retire, I'm buying Linda a tiller. My son bought his wife one. He told me, said, Daddy, I'm going to buy Anissa a tiller. I said, son, do you really know what you're doing? He said, yes. I said, I don't know if I'd buy her a tiller. He said, well, that's what she said she wanted. I said, okay, then buy her a tiller. But anything else, you better be careful about that thing, you know. Don't worry, Linda's not going to be tilling any kind of ground at all. She's not a farmer either. And I can tell some stories about that, but I'm not going into that right now. But, you know, it's work, and you've got to enjoy that. You've got to enjoy working. Many people in the church are doing it like it's the hardest labor they've ever done in their life. Let me tell you something. Change your attitude about it. It's the greatest thing you can do in life. It's the greatest thing you can accomplish in life. To be able to work and to labor and to see that labor, some of it. Not all of it, but to see some of it. We've got to be those workers. A workman must know his job. You take a bricklayer that doesn't know how to lay bricks, you don't want that fella. You take a plumber who doesn't know how to fix a faucet, you don't want that fella. They need to know their job. They need to have the tools to do their job. When Linda's daddy died, he had more stuff that he hadn't even taken out of the box. I was with him probably 30 years ago, and he'd buy a brush, and he'd pay $18 for it. If Susie, his wife, had known that, she would have got a hold of him. But he bought the best brushes. He bought the best tools so that he could do the best job, because that was his work, and he was proud of it. Have you seen the thing where it says everybody's supposed to sign their work as to what they do? It's saying be proud of what you do. As workers, we need to be proud of what we do in the kingdom of God and how we labor. We need to be proud of accomplishing those things that need to be accomplished. We've got to be willing to do that. And then the seventh thing is we need to see a believer as a vessel. Now, in verses 21 and 22, it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor. Therefore, cleanse yourselves." He's saying, you look at yourself as a vessel. What kind of vessel are you? What kind of vessel are you for God? Are you the kind of vessel that's used for a good thing? Are you the kind of vessel that's used for the bad thing? He said, cleanse yourself. What would you rather drink out of? A golden goblet that is dirty, that has grease on it and dirt on it and food left from other things on it? Had you rather do that or drink out of a cup that's got chips in it and it doesn't look that good, but it's clean? It's clean. We all know what we want. I'll get rid of that. I heard somebody talking the other day. He said, I don't know how those people did it in the past where they'd go in and draw that water up. And some of you done this before. You had one dipper and everybody drank out of it, didn't they? One dipper. And everybody going, oh, I wouldn't do that today. You don't know what those people got. Well, hey, they didn't know what those people had before. In that, but they just did that. That was a part of it. That was a part of what they were trying to do, what they were trying to accomplish there. And it was so important that they realized that and realized how necessary it was. So here, we've got to be those people that we're going to be a vessel. What kind of vessel are we going to be? How are we going to use ourselves and all? And I thought about mentioning here, but I'm not mentioning it, but I will mention it. Has your wife ever said, I want a drink of water? You know, I've figured out, men, how not to have to do that job. Because if Linda says, I want some water, I'll say, wait a minute, I'll step in the bathroom and get it out of the sink in there. Uh-uh. She said, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. And I've got out of getting her water a lot of times by doing that. Isn't that terrible? I still don't think so. Because a woman will not drink water out of a bathroom sink. They won't do that. They'll brush their teeth and they'll wash their mouth out with it. But they're not going to do that. Why? Just not clean, is it? Same water, not a problem. But we just won't do it because we perceive that as something that's not clean. And so we won't do that. We've got to be that vessel that's used for God. Now, we may have scratches. We may have dents. We may not be the best looking vessel in the world, but we are clean. And that's what he's saying. Clean yourself so that you can be used by God. God wants to use you. But see, God can't use clean vessels as well as he can those that are clean. He cannot use dirty vessels as well as he can those that are clean. And so here he's saying to these people, I want you to cleanse yourself. Cleanse yourself of those sins that you have. Turn from those sins. Don't let those sins be a part of your life. What would you do in this? Would you want to be a clean vessel that God would say, here it is. Look at how wonderful that vessel is. I use that vessel. What is it, Duck Dynasty? And that guy's got that Tupperware cup that he likes all the time. He said, oh, I clean it. I heard him the other night. He said, I clean it. I wash it and bleach. And I'm going, I don't know about that. I guess it's okay to do it. But he wants a clean vessel. It may not be the best looking vessel in the world, but it's a clean vessel. And he makes sure evidently that it is clean. So that needs to be a part of it. God commands us to depart from iniquity, not to be used for things that are wrong, not to be used for sin, but for us to use ourselves for what is right and what is good. That's what God wants us to do. And so we've got to keep ourselves away from iniquity. We've got to stay away from sin and not let that be a part of our life. Now here he's telling Timothy that. Is Timothy sinning? I don't know. He may be. There may be things that are in his heart and in his life that Paul knows about. But he's encouraging him, even if he is clean, to remain clean, to be used by God. That's what he's got to do. Now, we've got to be those people that we need to look at ourselves not only as that vessel, but we've got to look at ourselves as a servant too. In verses 23 through 26, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Boy, if we miss a passage, that's one we miss. Because we can argue over the simplest thing, and after a couple of weeks thinking about it, we think about how silly it is. And how silly that is. Knowing that they cause strife. A servant of the Lord. Now this is the way a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance. He's saying, Timothy, this is the way you need to treat people that are causing problems. You need to try to help them. You don't need to try to cut them off. You don't need to try to hurt them in any way. But what you need to try to do is to help to correct the problem that they're having. And do that in a gentle way. Give them a chance. Maybe they've got themselves into something and they don't know exactly how to get out. Help them to have an opportunity to do that. Sometimes we draw lines way too fast and we draw lines that are way too hard sometimes. We need to allow people an opportunity to be able to change their lives. That's a part of what he's saying here. He's saying you have patience even with those that sin. Have patience with them. Try to help them to do better. Try to encourage them in every way you can because maybe they want to repent. Sometimes we say, no, they don't. We've written them off. Don't do that. Don't do that. Paul is telling Timothy here, you be that person that you be gentle, you be patient in your teaching of them, and you have a humility about you that will help them to see that you're concerned about them and not just about winning an argument, winning what's being said there. In that humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Help people to know what the truth is. That's what he's supposed to do. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. We are those people that are trying to correct the relationships that other people have with God if they're wrong. We're encouraging those that have a good relationship. But we need to be helping each other to be able to do that. That's what a servant does. I was talking to a lady today, and she was talking about going to this really nice restaurant, and it had several forks there. And you know, you're supposed to use those forks for certain things. Haven't figured it out yet. It's whichever is the closest to me, I'm going to use it. But now some of these people are going, oh no, he's picked up the wrong fork. If you got to worry about a fork in your life, you're in trouble. You know, you got to get a life, grow up. But there are those things that are there. And we've got to learn how to use those things. And a servant will be there. And sometimes a servant will come over and help you to figure out exactly what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to eat this particular thing that you're supposed to eat. And that servant is ready to help you. If servants are great people because if you go and that servant is there and he wants to fill up your tea glass, he wants to fill up your water glass, he wants to find out, is there anything I can do for you? That's a servant, and we appreciate that. And usually, we tip them well. If you don't, repent and start doing that. Tip those people that will give you good service. Now, let me tell you something. If somebody gives me bad service, and I've done it before, I'll leave them a penny. I want them to know that I didn't forget it, but I want them to know I wasn't happy with their service. Now, my daughter, She just about had a fit one time when I did that with her. She said, "You can't do that." I said, "Yes, I can too. Watch it. See, if you want to be a servant, you be a servant. If you don't want to be a servant, don't take on the idea of being a servant. Or don't put the apron on, I might say, to be a servant. A good servant is worth a lot to a master. He's attentive there. He's ready to help that master in whatever he wants to do to be a good servant. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. You be a good servant. You be a gentle servant, a kind servant. Now, to show you the difficulties we have in understanding this sometimes, he's already talked about being a soldier and how, you know, the soldier's supposed to be hard. He knows what he wants to do. But now he's talking about a servant that's going to be under other people and he's going to be kind to other people and doing that. There's a little contrast there. And so sometimes we might need to look at that. What's the contrast between the servant and a soldier? Are they different? Are they showing different aspects of that child of God, that believer in God? I think they're showing different aspects of that. Kind of like a diamond when you look at it and you see one way you can turn it and maybe it's a white and then the other way it may be blue, but you see the light there as it's reflected in that. It's showing the different aspects of that. And that's what Paul's trying to show Timothy here. He's trying to show him the way that he needs to go. He's trying to help him to understand how he needs to be. It's important that we understand that. This shows us the different aspects of a believer, and that's what we need to see. Because we need to see what a believer really is. And Paul's telling Timothy, final words maybe, Timothy, you need to learn to be that servant. That's what a Christian is a servant. He's serving others, he's helping others, he's doing what he can for others. What kind of believer are you? What kind of believer are you? Do you have the attributes that he's talked about here to Timothy? And to the, not just to Timothy, but to the churches there. You see, Paul knew Timothy's in Ephesus. Timothy's going to read this letter and he's going to give it to the elders there. They're going to read it. Maybe other people in the congregation are going to read it. Maybe they're going to talk about that the next Lord's Day. That servant. And are we a good servant? What kind of servant are we? And we need to understand the servant that we need to be. We need to understand all these other qualities that we need to have. We are believers, and we need to be totally committed to what we believe in. We need to show our belief by the way we labor, by the way we use ourselves, by what we're trying to do. It is something that we've got to be totally involved in. We live in a world. We live in a world with a lot of things to do. But what we've got to do is to realize the main thing we have to do is be a child of God. That's more important than any profession that you could ever have. It's a way of life. It's a way of conducting yourself. It's a way of showing to the world what it is. And what we've got to do is to be those people that we manifest this more than anything else so that people will see it. And they'll say, you know, Christianity has something to say about it. Look at this person here. I've known them for years. Look at how faithful they've been. They haven't been involved in trouble and problems and difficulties, but they've tried to do what's right. They've tried to help people that were in need. They try to conduct themselves in the right way. Whatever the world desires and all the problems that it casts on you, that's part of the way we've got to live. That does not mean how we've got to live. Being a servant of God determines how we've got to live. So let's live that way. If you're here tonight and your service, your being a vessel of God, to be filled up by God, to be used by God, all these other things that we talked about, if you're not that, then change, please. Change in your life. And if we can help you in any way, we want to pray with you and for you tonight. We want to pray that things may go good in your life and that you might be a greater servant to God and you might serve and do everything that God wants you to do. And that you might help other people to see the way to go. If you're not a Christian, you gotta become a child of God. There's no way around that. Jesus is the only way, and we gotta follow Him. So if we can help you in any way in your Christian life, please come right now as we stand and as we sing.